Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 today. Hebrews 13 in the Bible. We love what we're doing here in Hebrews 13. I was sharing with you last week that Hebrews 13 is all about the practical application of the Word of God in your life and how God wants to help you. And what we're going to look at today in Hebrews 13 has all to do with how Jesus Christ is our best friend. And He is our helper. He is here to help us. Whatever we faced, and man, some of us face hairy, hairy stuff. Stuff that's just unbelievable sometimes. But Jesus is there to help. The Bible says that He's a very present help in the time of trouble. I'm just in love with Him for that. We love Him because He first loved us. Wherever trouble comes, Jesus will be there to help you through it. Through it. Get through it. So let's look at chapter 13. And what we had last week is the end of chapter 5, is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now this is a quote from the Old Testament. To work the Old Testament together with the New, this has been true forever and ever and a day. I will never, Jesus says, the Lord says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is actually, and I want to show it to you in the Old Testament, it's Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible, written so many hundreds of years ago, chapter 31 and verse 6. So let's just go there and see this in the Old Testament. So we go to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. And it says there, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Them is your enemies. For it says there, for the Lord your God, He it is that does go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And so this is actually a quote from this chapter and verse in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy means second law, written by Moses all those years ago to really reiterate what happened with things in the wilderness that they were in and God giving the Ten Commandments and all the things that God did in the Jewish law. And so New Testament connecting with Old Testament, the whole Bible is the Word of God. And it is inspirational and given by the inspiration of God for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God can be entirely complete in having all that they need to walk in the Lord. And so there it is. Now, the next section here in chapter 13 of Hebrews, I hope you kept your finger in Hebrews 13, is verse 6. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord wants you to be able to boldly say this, the Lord is my helper. He's my helper. You know, you ever think about a job or a chore that you have to do and you think, who can I get to help me with this? I'm going to need some help with it. Well, the Lord wants to step up and tell you, as the creator of the universe, the creator of all of us, I want to be your helper. And we can boldly say that, boldly say that. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There are so many ways that people can fear man. In this world, I think about this guy with his finger on the nuclear button over there in North Korea, and he's not exactly playing with a full deck, you know, so kind of scary that he can just push that red button and go, hee hee hee, here we go, you know, and start a giant war and kill a bunch of people. But you know, the Lord wants us to be confident in Him. Jesus said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that these things don't trouble you. We're going to trust the Lord with our livelihood, even on that large national scale. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, this is also a quote from the Old Testament, Psalm 118. Let's go there. Psalm 118 and verses 6 and 7. So Psalms is like right in the middle of the Bible. So you just root around there and you find Psalms and you go to chapter 118 and verses 6 and 7. It says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" So there's the quote. That's where the quote came from in Hebrews 13, right here. What can man do unto me? The Lord takes my part with them that help me. I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. I'm just going to wait on the Lord and let God handle it. Revenge is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. What we're to do if we see our enemies hungry, we feed them. And if they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And we leave the vengeance to the Lord. There's so many vengeance movies out there. You know, they make the bad guys look so bad and the good guys look so good. It's usually not really like that, is it? But then when the bad guy dies at the end, everybody stands up and cheers, right? Vengeance has been taken. Remember, we went and saw the movie. What's the name of that movie? A river. There's a river in it somewhere. But on this river is Kevin Bacon. He's the bad guy. Oh, he is such a bad guy. And Meryl Streep is the good girl. She's the heroine. And they're going down this river. And you just want to see Kevin Bacon die so bad. And I mean, because he's a bad guy. And he's, you know, you feel that in the movie. They build that up. At the end of the movie, when Kevin Bacon dies, I stood up and cheered. And I thought, what am I doing? They say, oh, there's the pastor. He's in the back row here in the theater, and he's standing up and cheering because Kevin Bacon is dead. You know, it's not a good witness, you know. I just really felt bad about that. But, you know, Hollywood gets us all into the revenge thing. But revenge belongs to the Lord. We always need to turn it over to Him and just forgive in our hearts and do all that we can to dwell peaceably with all men, right? Yeah, that's it. So there it is. Now let's read verse 6. It says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord takes my part with them that help me." There it is. Those that help me, God takes that part with me. Now, let's just talk about this a little further. Now, we can boldly say the Lord is my helper. And I want to show you a New Testament scripture that gives you the nuts and bolts of how God has worked this out to be able to be right next to you, to be your helper. Let's go to John 14 and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. John 14. Now, John is the last gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John chapter 14, verse 16. What a promise that Jesus gives here about helping us and walking beside us. John 14, 16. It says, the Lord Jesus said this at the Last Supper, just before he went to the cross and died for us. He said this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," which can also be translated helper, "that he may abide with you for a full week." That's not what it says. It says that he will give you another comforter or helper who will abide or remain with you forever. Forever. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He meant that. And so this is the Holy Spirit. It says even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. You can't see him. Neither know him. But you know him. Chris knows him. Lynn knows him. You guys, you know the Lord. And you know the Holy Spirit and His sweet touch in your life. Oh, yeah. Indescribably delicious. So we ask Him to come in. And He sweetly, sweetly takes care of all things in our lives. Let's just read on. It says, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. It's the idea of the breastplate of righteousness. We ask Jesus to come into our hearts, shall be in you. And the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. Now, this is just so beautiful. Jesus said that He would send them another comforter. Jesus had walked physically for 3.5 years with the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and all the guys. Physically, He was with them. And now He's leaving. He's going to have to go to the cross to die for our sins and then be taken up into heaven after the resurrection. And He says, you know what? I'm not going to leave you comfortless. That's the next verse, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. I quote this verse a lot. Let's say this together. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That is a promise from the Lord. And He does this through His Holy Spirit. We can't see Him, but we know He's there because of the things that happened. We can't deny that. We can't deny it. He just comes alongside to help. In fact, that's what the Greek word that the Bible is originally written in means for comforter. Parakletos. One who comes alongside to help. So He's right there. He's in me, He's with me, and He walks beside me. How can you beat that? And He's there to help you when you're in trouble, any kind of trouble. Make up some trouble. I don't think you have to make it up. You can list it. But you know, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God because God walks with me as my friend. And boldly I will say to you, He is my helper. And He helps me along. Sometimes people say, Jesus is just a crutch in your life. No, He's not a crutch. He's my intensive care unit. He's my intensive care unit. He is taking care of every single situation that I can get myself into or other people can get me into. Oh, man. And it's so great to know that, isn't it? It's a great thing to know. Okay. Now, I want to say this, that I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This is enlarged upon, and we're going to see as we go to an Old Testament chapter now, the parallels to Hebrews 13 that come out, and some peachy keen, well, there's an old term for you, peachy keen verses, little nuggets in the Bible that are in Psalm 27 that are just way too good to pass up. So, the rest of our time together, just want to look at Psalm 27 today and just enlarge upon this idea of getting the help from the Lord and knowing that man can't really touch us. All right, so we go to Psalm 27. Praise the Lord. Psalm 27. God gets us through these things. Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now, this is the history of David. And David wrote this psalm 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. And he was chased around a desert area for 15 years by a man that wanted to kill him. And somehow he made it alive through that. And it was because of the Lord. When his enemies came upon him to eat up his flesh, they stumbled and they fell. And King Saul ended up actually being killed in a battle. And David went on to be the king of Israel. And so he knows this from experience. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And so again, with what Jesus said about war, you hear wars and rumors of wars, but see that these things don't trouble you. And David says it here in the Old Testament 1,000 years before Jesus. Though war rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing, verse 4, have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. There is a beauty here in God's house. And we are God's house, aren't we? We're the tabernacles of the Lord. And we come together as the body of Christ. And there is a beauty that is right here. You can actually see Jesus in one another as kindness is given to one another, as we together decide to glorify the God who made us. For we are the people of His pasture. We are the sheep of His hand. He's created us. He formed us in the womb, the Bible says. And that He carries us from the womb, even to old age. That's a verse, Isaiah 46. He carries us from the womb, and even to old age, and to the hoary hairs. This is hoary hair. It's gray hair. Even to hoary hair. I will bear, I will carry you. So the whole thing of footsteps in the sand, that is doesn't go far enough. Because the Lord Jesus says, when you were in trouble, I was carrying you. No, He carries you from the womb, even to your old age. He's always carrying you. He is your intensive care unit. I can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. Amen. What can man do to me? If they kill me, I'll just go into heaven. Now, there's a testimony that Pastor Chuck gave you a few years ago, and I don't know what I would do in this situation, but this guy came to his door, his front door, and knocked on the door and said, I want to talk to you in my car. And his wife, Kay, just felt eerie about this guy. Said, Chuck, don't go out there with him. And Chuck went anyway and sat in the passenger side. The guy pulls out this big old gun. He says, I'm going to shoot you right now. And Chuck, the Holy Spirit came upon him so heavily that it just disarmed this guy. And he never did shoot him. But he said, you know, in that moment, he said he knew where he was going. Man, if this guy shoots me, I'm just going home a little early. You know, God gave him such an anointing to get through that time and the peace. And it's the truth. It's just the truth. So let's read on. Let's read on now. Verse 5. Oh, I didn't get the second part of verse 4. Okay, so the first thing is that we do here at church is enjoy the beauty of the Lord. The Lord is beautiful. And we sing to Him, enjoying His beauty. You just feel so much better because the praises start to come from your heart and He inhabits the praises of His saints. Now, and to inquire in His temple. Now, all these things that David was going through, he knew that if he would go and be with the Lord, sit before the Lord to inquire of God. Do you remember that time at Ziklag when the Amalekites attacked Ziklag while David was away with his men? And they burnt the city to the ground. It was David's hometown at the time. And they took all the goods and they stole their wives and kids. They kidnapped their children and their wives. And the men ride home to their city and it's all burnt to the ground. And their wives and kids are gone. And those guys, the Bible says, cried until they had no more strength to cry anymore. And then it turned to anger. And they decided to stone David because he was their leader that took them away from their wives and kids so that these guys could come in and kidnap them. And David went and began to encourage himself in the Lord. And he went and inquired in the temple. And there was no temple then, but to go before the priests with the ephod and inquire before the Lord. Shall I pursue the Amalekites? Yes. Will we recover all? Yes. And so there was a spark of faith there because he inquired of the Lord. And that's what you need to do when you are in major trouble, is just get to a place, come to church. And so many people come to church with questions. What do I do now? I need to inquire of you, Lord. You speak to my heart. And you know what? God does that. And David pursued. He got his wife back, and he got his kids back, and they got all the stuff that was stolen back because they waited on the Lord and got the solution and went out to do that. I love that story. But what David did, and I was so proud of him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you do that? I would think you pace up and down quoting scripture. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Lord God, you are my God, you are my helper. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you told me to cast my cares upon you because you care for me. And you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And the solutions begin to roll in. And the burdens rolling off your shoulders like boulders. Boulders off your shoulders. And you begin to be ministered to. And God begins to show you the way out. It can be awful ugly when you're in. But it is so beautiful to get out and get fresh and get new. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Forgetting that which is behind, and press on to that which lies ahead. Glory to God. That's what God can do. Because I can boldly say, he is my helper. Amen. Amen. He is. Okay, now we're ready for verse 5. Here we go. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And we're told 1 Corinthians 10 that the rock in the Old Testament that they drank from, that rock was Christ. And we are standing and planted on a rock. I'll tell you a story about the rock idea. I was fired from my last church that I served at because the church was a liberal church. It was a denominational church, and they didn't like me teaching the Bible. And so they fired me. And it was very painful. I remember myself in fetal position in my office crying my eyes out that I was fired. I'd never been fired from a job before. But from that came this church. There was a group of people there that said, you know what? We don't want to stay here where they're not teaching the word. And we started this church in 1978. So next year, 2018, will be 40 years since this church started. Hallelujah. It's our anniversary, you guys. 40 years. We can celebrate, right? But anyway, what was I going to tell you about that? We went on this retreat at this other church. And the Lord was speaking to me about this whole situation, and I was just grieved, you know, grieved. It feels to be grieved. And so the Lord took me out, and I was walking early in the morning in prayer, and there was tumbleweeds all around. But there was this big rock right in the middle of the tumbleweeds. This was up at Arrowhead Springs. And so I got up on this rock, and it was like I was standing on the rock. On Jesus. And the Lord showed me the tumbleweeds. He says, Mark, right now you're surrounded by tumbleweeds. But he said, look up and look at all those beautiful trees on that next hill over there. And this is what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to make you a pastor of a church with a bunch of big trees, man. At the watered gardens, bearing fruit in their season. Yeah, and their leaves will not wither, and whatever they do will prosper. I said, oh God, bring it on. And that's this church. Did you guys understand or realize that you're big trees? You are great, big, beautiful, luscious trees, and I love each one of you. You're there, your eyeballs are looking and listening to the Word of God faithfully. Every week I see you there. God bless you. And this has been a great thing. And so the Lord sets me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. This was a banner scripture for me, and really got me wanting to go all through all of Psalm 27 because of this parallel to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:15 says this, and I'll quote it to you. Let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And I'll read this again to you. In his tabernacle, sacrifices of joy, I will sing. I will sing praises unto the Lord. So this is the Old Testament, 1,000 years again before Jesus. And then about 50 years after Jesus, Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And now I used to teach it this way. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were animals. And in the New Testament, our sacrifice is praise to God and to share and to do good. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, I see this scripture and I see David. And what is he doing? He's offering up sacrifices of joy. And I will sing, says he, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. This is Hebrews 13:15, right here in action, 1,000 years before it was written. And this tells me the Old Testament is so connected to the New again. So we see these things again and again. So this verse referring actually towards the one that's coming. Now, this is a wonderful thing to know, that sometimes you need to offer up the sacrifice of praise sacrificially because you're in trouble and your enemies have you surrounded. You're so confused you can't even believe it. But you are going to accept the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you're going to offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips giving thanks to his name. Because otherwise, you might never praise God because you're pretty much always in trouble. Is that right? There's always something that's bugging us. And we can go with that. You can complain your guts out. Every single day, you can complain your guts out. Call your friends and say, and after that, I'm flat tire, and my wife left me, I have no job, these things are life. Oh, God help us. But the Lord wants you to take the higher road and bring the sacrifice of praise to him and allow the joy of the Lord to be in your life, to worship him in the sanctuary and to dwell there. Again, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He wants to minister to you. He wants to help you to get free of this depressing life, free of always wallowing in your troubles. You're going to have troubles. It's a guarantee. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's as simple as that. But we don't have to live there. We can live with looking to God and thanking him that one day this will all be over. And it goes really fast. Believe me, I can't believe that when I look in the mirror, I look that bad. Because I used to be Mr. Handsome Joe, all gone. So, but that's the way it is. But the thing, just saying, the time goes really fast, and you know that's true. Okay, so there you go. Now, let's go on to verse 7. It says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When you say, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" I'm going to seek your face, Lord. "Hide not your face far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help," and there it is, connection with Hebrews 13. "Leave me not," I will never leave you nor forsake you. "Neither forsake me," I will never leave you nor forsake you. So here David praying this prayer that is answered in Hebrews 13. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now I wanted to give you the definition of that again as a review. We had it last week. But one of the Greek scholars that I read just wrote this about the verse, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Several negatives are utilized in this Greek statement to emphasize the impossibility of Christ deserting believers. So that you could say, it would read, there is absolutely no way whatsoever that I will ever, ever leave you. Not going to happen, not going to happen. And you know, the next verse has been so important to me in my life along these lines. Because my father left me when I was 2.5 years old. And I'm kind of a sensitive type guy, so I hardly ever got over that. That my dad left. And I didn't see him again until I was 18. And it was heartbreaking for me growing up. My stepdad was really mean. He would beat my mother with the belt. And it was just a horrible existence. But she got him with her finger. I was about ready to jump on him, but she got him with her finger in the eyeball. Oh man, that was hairy. So anyway, I know that this isn't fun, but it's the way families are sometimes. But let's look at this next verse. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And you know, I found the Lord, and God became my father. Oh yes, He did, in such a huge way. I once drew a picture of Him. I said, "Lord, I want to draw a picture of You," junior year of high school. And I was just trusting Him that He would help me make a picture of Him. And so I drew that little round face, and you know, just trying to trust Him that it'll be a good job, even though I'm not an artist. So I drew the hair down the sides. And then all of a sudden, I just drew hair all the way across the circle. So I said, "Oh yeah, we'll see you from the back, Lord. That'll be better." I mean, the artwork, you know, was, I mean, just hair. And it's very easy to draw a robe. You know, you just, and there he was. He looked good. And then he had me draw two robes. One with a king's throne at the end, and one with the cross at the end. And the Lord ministered to my heart that He chose the cross for me. He came, He died a gruesome death that He could identify with my humanity. You know, He called Himself the Son of Man 88 times in the New Testament, and the Son of God only 55 times. So the biggest thing He ever said about Himself, the most He ever said about Himself, was the Son of Man, because He came to identify with you. And He chose the cross for you. And He is our Savior. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. And even if our father and mother forsake us, the Lord will take me up. And that was so special in my life again and again. And again, when I was 40 years old, I'm 68 now, I was 40, walking in the park as a pastor, I said, "Father, You're the only father I've ever had. And I said that with tears, and I said it with joy, because he's a good dad. Earthly dads make mistakes. They do. And they discipline us after their own pleasures, the Bible says. But he always for our 100% profit. In the Old Testament it says, a mother of a suckling child will never leave that child. Oh, they might, it says then after that. And it's true. You've seen on the news the mothers that forsake their kids. But he says, I will never forget you. I have carved you on the palms of my hands. And that's from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, Isaiah, I have it written down somewhere. Anyway, Isaiah 49:16. I will not forget you. I have carved you upon the palms of my hands. And so he is a good dad. He's the best father. And you know, it's neat to have this message for the youth. Because at the youth retreats, there's kids, and there's a lot of sensitive kids that are really sad that dad is gone. And that is very true for so many of our children today. We live in a really haired out, baloney, salami-giving generation. This present evil generation that God will deliver us from one day. So this verse has been very important to me, and maybe it will play something on your heartstring too, especially if you've lost a dad or mom. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up, and he will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. I can boldly say, God is my helper. Teach me thy way, O Lord, verse 11, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. Sometimes our enemies are so thick and so surrounding us, and of course our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I can't believe the fights that Pastor Greg Laurie probably has to go through with his influence, because I know as a pastor, man, some of the things that come down are really hairy. I can't even believe what might be happening to Pastor Greg, so we need to pray for him continually. But this is how we can fight against those enemies. It says, lead me in a plain path, or another translation, lead me in a straight path, Lord. Please guide me. Because of my enemies. These guys are too strong for me. And that's a verse in the Bible. It says, my enemies are too strong for me. It's another Psalm of David. Oh, they certainly are. The things that can come against us are way too strong for you to handle. And so we need to be led in a very peaceful way, in a straight path, in a plain path. Lord, please give me direction to not manipulate. What's the word I want for this?
Navigate
through these things. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted dead away, unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Yes, the shield of faith. Unless I believed to see the end to be good. Unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Which brings us back to verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire for that straight path. for that plain path, to inquire in His temple, how do I get through this, Lord? Waiting upon Him, looking for His direction, doing the next thing. Sometimes the only thing you can do is just do the next thing and wait upon Him and see what He has. He loves you so much, and He is your helper. Boldly stated, standing with you, He has come alongside you to help. Yes. And man, we need a lot of help, don't we? God is so good to bring it. Well, let's pray. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing. So, Father, we thank You, Lord God, for this, Your Word. Psalm 27 flies. It should have wings. Lord, we thank You for Hebrews 13 and these truths just working right together. Lord, we see that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. And Lord, that is so good, because this is a dynamic society. We are in dynamic living conditions. We're moving here and moving there, and we're going, what end is up? But Lord, You're up, and You're the rock. We can stand on You, and we'll know what to do. So we thank You, Father, for this tremendous Bible truth that we have enjoyed today. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything, the prayer room is open for you today. Stu's here. Hallelujah, Stu. And Stu will be in there to pray with you. If you haven't been saved yet, you better get on it.
Amen.
You know, the Lord's coming back really soon. He really is. There's so many things in the Bible. And if you need to be saved, you need to say the sinner's prayer. You need to get right with Jesus. Come to the prayer room today. And Brother Stu will lead you in the sinner's prayer and give you a free Bible. So may the Lord bless you. May God just continue to fill you and use you and make your life a life of abundant living. And we all take trials for granted, but the abundant living is walking with Him side by side through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.